You know, one would think you look around this country, and specifically the Southwest, this is a good time to be building buildings and designing buildings. There's enormous construction going on, commercial construction. Suddenly people are in the Southwest are living in high-rises, and they like it, too, something they never used to do. To that end, we've invited Ted Kalai, who's the regional managing principal for AECOM Buildings and Places for the whole Southwest, to come by and visit. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, David. Glad to be here.
So AECOM, in case people don't know or haven't seen the name on the building in Galleria, I mean, you guys built, like, the World Trade Center and that new football stadium in Atlanta. It's a pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. We're building the new LA arena stadium as well, and kind of the main planners for the 2028 Olympics right now.
But you're involved in some really, I mean, in addition to all that, I know you specifically have been working on this Hyperloop, Elon Musk Hyperloop that they're talking about, you know, the new Texas Triangle connections and I guess high speed rail too.
Yeah, David. I mean, exactly. We're kind of really into all things high speed, whether they're the traditional high speed trains. You know, it's been around for 80 years. We're doing the environmental impact studies for the Texas Central Railway, but also that you mentioned Hyperloop. That's a really interesting, you know, opportunity that we've kind of launched ourselves into and involved. And it's a scheme by, you know, Elon Musk put out there for basically taking maglev trains and putting them in near vacuum.
So
tubes.
I can have lunch in Austin. I could be there in 19 minutes.
Yeah, we've done the math. It's Austin 19 minutes. You could go straight through to San Antonio in 22 minutes and make it from through there to Houston in probably about 30 minutes or so total time.
Do you guys, I mean, you sort of adopt the theory you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince, or, I mean, are these things going to get built?
No, they are being built. Actually, AECOM designed, engineered, and built the kind of the beta test out in the desert, Nevada, where it's not quite a kilometer long, where they're doing a scaled down version that's reached speeds of 300-400 miles an hour. The design speed for the true Hyperloop is approaching and exceeding 700 miles an hour. So it's scaling up, and the technology is it's really not crazy new technology either.
And these things, I mean, I would guess the bullet train, the high speed rail, and the Hyperloop are mutually exclusive. I mean, they can exist together, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's multi forms, of high speed transportation. You know, we don't see those as competitive, and you know, different users, different markets, and different economies of way of doing that. So actually, the scheme we've kind of proposed for the Texas high speed Hyperloop scheme is not, the high speed rail line from Houston to Dallas kind of completes the triangle, and you know, it's a multiple choice options we see.
It's fun. It'd be fun to think about. I hope it comes. I and sooner than later for me. But back to construction and all this that's going on right now, the talk about the infrastructure and everything else. We're building so many buildings right now. And you're building some I will say that football stadium in Atlanta is pretty cool. The World Trade Center, you know, is kind of a different thing. But, you know, I go to Europe and I see, well, like the Shard in London, and even going outside of Amsterdam or Berlin, and you see these great exotic buildings. We build a whole lot of glass boxes here. Are we getting any more creative?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, Dallas, you can see plenty of examples around the DFW area of not just building glass buildings, but making places, you know, making mixed-use environments where people want to be, where they want to live. And, you know, that is the mantra for most new development is live, work, and play. It's not just a office park in a surrounded by a sea of parking lots.
And to that end, I mean, I've seen a lot of that, you know, that new McKinney and Olive building has a really distinctive, and Gabriel Barbier Mueller's built, I think it's the Rolex building. It's going up is pretty distinctive, and it's kind of a breakout. Are we going to see more of that around here?
Yeah, I think that there's always a desire for great buildings, and people want to have places of pride where they go and work and spend most of their day, and you know, so there's really a need for a demand by people of having a pride of place. But at the same time, you see those in those developments there. You know, you look at the restaurants and retail and streetscape and things going on, that trying to make something that's really compelling to be in when you're not up in that office. And that's really the key thing that we're trying to make places, that the development community is understanding. It's, we're building fewer and fewer office buildings with a garage, out in the suburb, that's not attached to whether it's transit or some other kind of walkable environment. And you're actually seeing a lot of former legacy campuses, no pun intended, legacy, for instance, JCPenney being converted to a mixed-use development. That's really it's a trend that's going to be with us about, the corporate occupiers wanting to compete with, getting the next generation of workforce that want those kind of places to
you
be.
I would guess in your line of business, you got to be careful because something can look dated. I remember when I was a kid, the Republic Bank towers went up. And it's covered in metal and there's stars on it and it looks like a spaceship taking off. And then, by the 70s or 80s, people were saying, oh my God, what an eyesore.
Everything comes around.
maybe it's back in vogue. Now it's Art Deco. It's back in vogue. But I mean, you don't want people to say, what were those people back at the turn of the century thinking about when they built these things?
Yeah. The usage changes. I mean, the Republic Bank had very small floors and the occupiers were small. And, the nature of the sizes of businesses and the sizes of space they need has changed. And, here sitting with you in an office, is that as much of a trend as it used to be of people being in a private office? Obviously this would be hard to do what we're doing here out in open plan with a bunch of people around you, so there's a need for this. But, the drive is to get more people in collaborative environment. Our office, for instance, we moved in the fall here into the gallery area, the Midtown area, and brought several companies in the same space, and it's very, very open, very collaborative. A lot of meeting spaces, but it's also where the people can talk and touch, kind of be really in contact with each other on a very ad hoc basis, and it's very exciting because it's more energetic for the next generation of workforce. I love it. I'm rarely at the same desk every day, and it allows me to move around and kind of engage with the team I'm working with at the moment.
Really, it does change. You're a native tech. You grew up in Texas.
I am.
Did you ever think that people in Dallas and Houston, the other Austin, the other major metropolitan areas, would actually want to live in high rises? I mean, that was the anathema. They built a few, and they would. But I remember, what was it? Over on Northwest Highway, I think it was the Athena, and also the Preston building next to it. Mm-hmm. Went bankrupt. Yeah. Nobody wanted to move in there.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants to live in high rise.
Well, there's demographic kind of cycles. There's right now you're seeing the return of seniors who want to go be in the urban areas too. Just like you go through a cycle where you're raising children and want to have land and space and great schools, and then different points in your life where you want to have the amenities, the nightlife, and the ability to get to something fun right away. And so all of a sudden you have this convergence of the young and the not so young all in the same place, and it's just really kind of interesting. So you really have to have that mix of opportunities for people.
So what's the most fun thing you're working on?
Well, the Hyperloop option is kind of interesting and quite interesting, and we're even doing some work with Uber around the Uber Elevate and possibly on the stations, that you'd have these electric copters
that you take
Uber pass from a car and jump on a flight that gets you to a DFW very quickly. But, I think what's interesting, I'm an architect and we do buildings, and we're working with a lot of corporate clients, from Bank of America to Nokia to Dow to, energy companies like BP and Shell. And what's interesting is, still bringing those innovations back to them. These conversations around autonomous vehicles, which in the news right now because of the accidents, and that's still where, but I think everybody sees that is going to be the future for us. And what does that mean to development? What does that mean to people who are building buildings now and building parking garages and things like that? What does that future look like? It's kind of a real big hairy challenge.
But all in all, I would think it's a real good time to be you.
It's got to be a good
good time right now.
Yeah.
Ted Kalai is the regional managing principal for AECOM, and builds a lot of neat buildings and probably going to build a lot more. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
Come back.
Glad to be here.
All right. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.